14. Jesus spoke and said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The words that Jesus had for His closest followers, as He's preparing them for His departure, preparing them for a time when it will be different than what they've experienced all the way up until that point. For 3 years plus, they had walked with Him daily. They had been trained. They had been instructed. They'd gotten on-the-job training. They saw and they did what their Master had showed them. For 3 years, wherever He was, they were. As He walked the roads from town to town, they were with Him. As He was teaching along the way, they received from Him. When He got to the place where He was going to do ministry, regardless of what that place was, they were there. They heard His teachings. They saw His instructions. They saw the healings, the miracles, the very glory of God in His life upon Him. They were eyewitnesses. Nothing new for them. But as He begins preparing them for His departure, He says, things will be different. I'm going away. And I still have many things to say to you. And we're still there. We are still there. In the same way that He had much still to say to the 12, He has much still to say to us. But in the same manner that He told them, I've got a lot to say to you, but you're not ready to receive it. We've lived in that camp for a long time. He said, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak from Himself, but what He hears, the things that I say, that He will reveal to you. And there the church needs to be right now, listening as He reveals His plan, His purpose, His desire. He told them, I'll even tell you things to come. I don't think that ever expired. I believe the Lord Jesus still wants to reveal things to come to a church who's willing to listen and receive and act on what He's showing them. The promise that was given to the apostles that day, I believe, is a promise that carries to every generation of believers. When He comes, He will show you, lead you into all truth, show you things to come. The Lord still has much to say to us. We may not be fully ready or able to receive everything that the Lord wants to reveal today. Anybody think that you could handle the full spectrum of God's revelation if He were to show up today and just start speaking directly to you things that were about to take place? You know, if you're there, you far surpassed me. I can handle one or two details, and it usually bogs me down. I'm not a multitask person. How many of you are multitaskers? You can handle anything that the Lord throws your way. I'm not there. And when it comes to information, I process bits and pieces of information. If you give me too much, I might hear it. I might even be able to repeat it back to you. But I can't implement it in my life. I struggle keeping a few things and working on them at one time. But the Lord has much to say. He has much that He still wants to reveal. The promise that He gave to the apostles, the gift of the Holy Spirit, I believe is a promise that is still relevant, available and waiting for the church today. Jesus said, when He has come, He will guide us into all truth. Because He won't speak on His own authority, He'll tell you what I'm speaking. The very conversations that are taking place in heaven's courtroom today, He wants to make known. Do you think the Lord has been silent since the day Jesus was received up into glory? I don't think so. And from age to age and generation to generation, He's continued to show bits and pieces, parts of things that were coming. Even after the Lord Jesus was received up into glory, as all the disciples were standing on the mountaintop and they watched Him ascend into the clouds, and the two angels came and said, "Hey, guys, what are you doing? The same Jesus you just watched taken away from you will return again in like manner." But from that day on, the Holy Spirit came to reveal to them specific things that they needed to know, specific things that were to take place, strengthening them, encouraging them, teaching them, and they continued to learn. You know, the disciples, especially Peter, Peter was one of those people who had everything under control in his mind. He was one of those people that could look at a situation, what was taking place, and right or wrong, he would act immediately, respond immediately. And I'm sure that after Jesus was taken away, even after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, there were times where Peter made rash, irrational decisions. And if we're honest, we look at ourselves, and it doesn't matter how much we've grown, how much we've matured in the Spirit, many of us have those times that we can look and say, "Wow, why did I do that? Or why did I respond that way?" The Lord didn't come and just slap Peter around, or any of the rest for that matter, just because they made a mistake. He used every mistake that they made as a springboard and as an opportunity to teach and to train and lead them into more truth. And the church continues to this day to need everything that He has to reveal. But we can only handle as much as we can handle. And He knows exactly how much that is. When I was a young believer, I was very zealous. I was totally transformed, changed overnight, and I had such a zeal and a love and a desire to do anything I possibly could for the Lord. What happened is, in the process, the Lord has showed me not everything I had zeal for was necessarily His idea. Not everything that we do as believers, Spirit-filled or not, is necessarily His idea. Yes, we're zealous, and the Lord is so merciful to us as young believers. I did everything wrong and He still honored me. I would pray the wrong prayer and He'd do it. I would ask for things that I really probably shouldn't have asked for, and He would still give. That wasn't always the case. as he began to mature me. I had gotten used to God just coming and answering my prayer, and I thought that was so cool. They didn't teach me that in the church I grew up in. All of a sudden, as a young believer, full of zeal, full of fire, full of hope, full of faith, I just would pray and God would do it. And I was going, wow, it works. He said he would do that and he did. And a few months later, something happened. He says, okay, we're going to mature you now. And the same zealous, on fire, faith-filled believer that I was would pray, knowing that God had answered before, and I would pray in faith, and I would look, and wow, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't change. They didn't get healed. It really blew my mind when I knew that God was going to raise up this person that had a terminal disease. And it wasn't a week later that they died. I didn't comprehend why, because it worked earlier. I prayed without much faith at all at times and saw God do miraculous things that I didn't deserve. I didn't have the formula down. I didn't know how it worked. I just prayed in faith, what little faith I had, and God did. And now, thinking that I'm more mature because I've learned more scripture, I know where to find it in the book to back it up, I start praying the same prayers, knowing that God had been so faithful up to that point, and then nothing happened. Because I had taken a formula. But I hadn't heard from the Spirit. I hadn't heard what God was saying in the situation. Do we agree it's important to know what God says? I believe it's very important. But if he had told me there would be days where he didn't want me to pray healing for somebody when I was a new believer, I would have been confused. Well, how do I know when to pray and when not to pray? How do I know to pray this or how do I know to pray that? As a new believer, that was too much for me. He just wanted to show himself faithful. He wanted to reveal to me relationship and his goodness when I was a newborn believer. But there came a day where he said, okay, now it's time for you to grow up a little bit. Trust me, I'm not there all the way yet. But little by little, the Lord reveals more as we're able to handle it. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you right now, but you cannot bear them. But when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will guide you into all truth. We still need Him, don't we? And the conversations that are taking place today in heaven, He wants to reveal to somebody. There are things that are getting ready to be poured out in our generation upon this earth. And maybe the things that He's talking about right now have nothing to do with you. Maybe. But they have something to do with what's going on somewhere right now. And there's some group of believers that need to know so that they will be strong when they go through it. When He gave visions and dreams to the prophets of old, He didn't give them all the same dream or the same vision at the same time. He gave them to specific individuals for specific times. And yes, He gave some way in advance. Some of them in the Old Testament are still waiting for their fulfillment. But at other times he would speak and things would come to pass rapidly. He didn't reveal to every prophet the things that he spoke concerning Paul. And the prophet walks into the room, grabs Paul's belt, wraps it around his hands and said, "In like manner will the owner of this belt be bound in Jerusalem." Not every prophet received that information. It was specific for individuals. And yet there are things that pertain to all of us that the Lord wants us to know. And I believe that the Lord continues to speak to this day. The council of heaven is convened. And there's much to be revealed to a church in this generation. Are you the church in this generation? A lot of uncertain people out there. The Lord God has much to reveal to us. I believe there are declarations being made concerning times and seasons and the church of our generation. A release of judgments. I believe a release of judgments has been happening and working itself out in our lifetime. But I believe the church needs to receive what the Lord is revealing by His Spirit so that the church will be ready. Does the church just think I like preaching hard messages? You think that's what I'm about? I've heard from a couple of sources that I preach really hard. Is that just your style? Is that the way you do it? No, it's really not. But I believe that the Lord is preparing a church, a body, in our day, in our time. Because if we are not ready when things come, who's going to stand? For too long, the church has been taught that the Lord just wants to bless His people. Nothing ever happens bad when you become a believer. I don't read that in Scripture. If you can prove that, then you better have a lot of chapters and verse to counteract the ones that I read that says the church is going through some testing. The church is going through some trials. Jesus said, you know, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's a place that we can stand as believers in Him. But if we're not standing there because we've been lulled to sleep by the good stuff that God wants to give us, by the prosperity doctrine and that alone, how are we going to be ready when God starts pouring out judgment all around us? When famine came on a land, do you think that it rained above somebody's house who was a believer? Thank you, Lord, my garden's watered. Theirs is dead. It didn't happen that way. When famine came on the land, the whole land experienced famine. Ask Elijah why he had to hang out by the brook. Why he had to move and have a widow feed him. Because he was going through something. I think he was a believer. Daniel and the three Hebrew children were believers. When Nebuchadnezzar carried away the whole city, he didn't say, "Oh, you're believers, you can stay here." They were carried away in captivity as well. And I believe the Lord wants to warn the church of today, to prepare the church of today, to have the church ready. And therefore, He speaks today if a church will hear. I believe there's coming quickly a loosing of the Lord's wrath against sin. And all of these things He wants to divinely share through the Holy Spirit. Given to the church. revelation such as he chooses to reveal. Jesus said, and he will tell you things to come. Things that are important for our times, the times that we live in. Things that bring clarity of vision. If the Lord didn't reveal part of his vision, would the church ever have it? Would we know where he's going, what he's doing, what he's addressing right now, were the Lord not to reveal? We would be left to guesswork. We could look at history and we could say, well, it worked this way in history. But I can stand and testify, you can't take everything that God's done in the past and say it will still work today and get the same results. Because churches try. It becomes a method and a methodology. Look what God did then, and we'll try to form ourselves into the very same image and expect God to do it exactly that way again. And it doesn't work unless he reveals it first. He wants to reveal things that offer strength and encouragement. Things that are to come will be revealed so that the church is not caught off guard. But these promises, as we saw last week, are requisite on the Holy Spirit's coming and taking up residence, being welcomed and accepted. People who don't believe the Holy Spirit speaks still are not apt to listen to Him. If you don't know where that thought came from, or the vision came from, or the direction came from, how often do you set off on a course to follow it? We chalk it up as another dream. Had too much pizza last night. But when we understand that the living God and His Holy Spirit still speak and wants to reveal His plans and purposes to the body, we take note when He speaks to us. And if we act upon what's revealed in obedience, we've been prepared for what's coming. If we receive what He said, but we do nothing with it, the thing still comes, but the church is in a mess. Nobody wants to say amen to that. Jesus was promising the Holy Spirit. He would bring things that were lacking in the natural realm, things that He would bring would reveal truths that are outside of man's normal, natural, fleshly understanding. We've all got that capability. We all understand with the cognitive level that God created man with. Generate or unregenerate, we all received an ability to receive information and to process it and to do something with it. And we've acted upon it. In our unsaved state, we didn't do very well, did we? I'm putting everybody to sleep. Maybe I'm the only one who was a horrible sinner. With the information that I received and processed with my natural fleshly understanding, I didn't have a very good track record. I don't tell you about all of those things because I'd like to continue to minister. As God called me. And in some circles, I might bring my capabilities to do what God called me to do into doubt. Well, let me tell you, it's never about me. It's by His grace. It's only His mercy that took someone like me who thought the way I thought and reacted and responded the way I acted and responded. It was only His grace that could take me, transform me, change me, and put me in this position. Because the natural man did not understand spiritual things. But when the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus to me, He changed my ability to understand and comprehend. I was one of those rare unsaved people who read my Bible because I was told to as a young boy. I knew it was part of the living godly and righteous. It was instilled within me. And so I did read my Bible. Did not understand much. Didn't process it through the right filters, because I was filtering everything I saw wrong, and it gave me an excuse for the way I lived. Well, look, there's a godly man, and look the way he reacted and behaved. When the Holy Spirit came, all of a sudden, everything changed. I read the same stories, saw the same account, and instead of the sin and an out to be able to excuse myself because godly men had done it, I began to see the mercy of God upon sin and that it was being extended to me. Never understood it until the Holy Spirit began to reveal the heart of God. Jesus said, when He comes, He'll give you understanding. He'll lead you into all truth. Tell you things to come. Things that are much needed for our understanding. Things that are necessary. Things that will be important to us. But the same Spirit who speaks from the heavenly realm, giving understanding, also speaks to bring change. He brings change. The Holy Spirit brings change. And as we know, change can be good, but at times it can also be uncomfortable. Some of you are just spur-of-the-moment people. You like change. You ever met somebody that you say, let's do this, and they start doing it immediately? Just because they can? And then there are those people that you talk about doing something different, like eating at a different restaurant. Going to a different place. Wearing different clothes. Singing different music. And all of a sudden, it creates an abrasive atmosphere. And it rubs them the wrong way. Change isn't fun for everybody. Maybe for some people, some change is great, but there's even limits within that realm. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring change. He wants to bring change that's not change that we thought about, change that we want, but the change that our Lord wants to bring upon us. And He does that. Before Jesus really got started into the office that His Father, God, had called Him to, we all understand what His office is. As the Redeemer, as the Savior, we understand what His God and His Father sent Him to do, don't we? But before he actually stepped in and began appropriating what God had put in him, we're told in Scripture that there was a forerunner, one that was sent before, one who was sent to prepare the way. And most of us know the ministry of John the Baptist. How many of you know the ministry of John the Baptist? He was sent as a forerunner. Many during the days of John came out to the wilderness to hear him speak. He was the one, Scripture called him the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. And as John in the wilderness began to cry out, the message was a pretty simple message. Repent. Message of repentance. Preparing the way was a message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be baptized. Repent. And we're told that many did repent at the message. Some of them actually thinking that John himself was the Christ that was to come. But John's quick to point out that they're to wait for another. John said, and when he's been revealed, he will bring another baptism. I've been baptizing you with water, a baptism of repentance, but you're to wait because there's another coming. And we read it together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. It says, now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand,